from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in three first-class venues.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get a preview of this year's Greek Fest.
I'll get a sneak preview of the fall season of the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra.
And I'll get the lowdown on the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communications Festival and Competition. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The 38th Indianapolis Greek Festival, also known as Greek Fest 2011, takes place on September 9th and 10th at the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Carmel. One of the oldest cultural and food festivals in the city, it features dance, music, a marketplace, and, of course, my favorite part, lots of food, pastries, wines, and beer. Travis DiNicola spoke with Greek Fest's Mary Lee Pappas, as well as musicians John Sateras and Costa DeGrasse and Demos DeGrasse.
The title of the song is Evdokias. Actually, this is Evbekiko, which is a type of Greek dance. Greek dancing has about five or six different type of dances, basic ones, and there's a lot of different harder ones as well. But that was Evbekiko.
Okay. Now, you guys will be playing that along with a whole bunch of other great music at Greek Fest this year. You've sort of been dubbed the Greek Fest band. You guys been playing together for a while? I mean, obviously, you're all accomplished musicians, or you just sort of get together for Greek Fest?
Actually, this band was put together for the Greek Festival because I think the church wanted to hire some local musicians, so we were able to do that, and this will be our first performance live in Indianapolis.
Oh, actually, excellent.
In Carmel, yeah.
Okay, cool. So here, like, Art of the Matter kind of has the scoop here.
Yes.
With you guys.
Yes.
Okay, well, it sounded great. I know we're going to listen to another piece in just a few minutes, but let me turn it over to Mary Lee for a minute here. Mary Lee, give us the background on Greek Fest, because it's coming up next weekend, and it's so much fun, and tons of great food and music and culture and events, and you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan. I never miss it, of course. This year is the 38th Indianapolis Greek Festival, which we're dubbing it Greek Fest 2011.
Bum, bum, bum.
This year, And it's Friday, September the 9th, 4 to 10 p.m., Saturday, September the 10th, noon to 10 p.m. Tickets are $5 in advance at Marsh, of course, $7 at the gate the day of, and of course, it's one of the oldest cultural ethnic food festivals in the city. And it's more of like a huge Greek picnic, I guess, instead of a festival. I mean, it's really an extension of how we eat and celebrate and dance in our own families and home. And we're just celebrating our whole culture with everybody in the city.
And you certainly don't have to be Greek to go.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Well, and the festival just seems to keep getting bigger and better every year and such. More things that you're adding on. I know huge crowds for it.
Huge crowds. I think the food is better than ever at our new location in Carmel, 3500 West 106th Street. You know, we have a great kitchen. We have a big kitchen, so the food is really spectacular and fresh. So as you're ordering it at the festival, it is truly coming out of the kitchens fresh. It's the best I think it's ever been in the four decades
Yeah. Now, is this like a sort of a big reunion, I mean, for a lot of people? I mean, Indianapolis actually does have a pretty significant Greek community.
Absolutely, it is. People like me, who you don't see at church, on Sundays you'll see at the festival. I'm just kidding. But also, you know, a lot of friends, relatives, neighbors, everybody comes together. And again, you know, people in the neighborhood just there walking to the festival. It's pretty fantastic.
Let me turn it to the guys and ask you guys. John, we'll start with you. Sure. What's your favorite part of the festival?
My favorite part of the festival is actually playing on stage and watching the crowd enjoy themselves. A lot of the people actually may not know how to Greek dance, but I'm amazed at how many of them get up on the dance floor and they're willing to try the Greek dancing and learn the steps. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, now, with most of the music that you guys play, are there dances associated with it? Is that a big part of it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Every song that we play, it will be a different style of dance, a Greek dance.
Cool. So, and so for people who don't know the dances, they can certainly sort of pick it up there, try it out, and it's a good place to learn.
Yeah, yes.
And stuff. Hey, Demos, tell me a bit about, what's your favorite part about Greek Fest?
Well, just like John said, I mean, it's everything. I mean, I love playing for the people, watching everybody's reaction, the way, how we play the music, and it's just, it's been a lifelong dream to do stuff like this. So I mean, it's very enjoyable and I love it.
What about the food?
The food, of course. Mean, the food, of course, yes.
Saganaki is my favorite.
Saganaki?
And octopus, if they have octopus, you got to try the octopus.
Good stuff?
Oh, excellent stuff.
Okay. Good to keep
it's
in
all
mind.
Grandmother's recipes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, similar to like a calamari or?
Yeah, similar to that. But they may not have it at this festival, but there's other festivals that do feature octopus. But the calamari, I'm sure they'll have the calamari.
Oh, we have lots of calamari. Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'll be.
Good to know. Okay. Costa, what's your favorite part of the Greek Fest?
My favorite is, of course, the music. And enjoy the people dance. And because when you see the people dance and they get up on a stage and dance and make you more happy and more like you want to play.
Yeah.
And they make us happy. And also, you know, I think it's one of the best fests that in Indianapolis, you know, a Greek fest. I like it a lot. And I think this year is going to be better.
Even better. So now you play a pretty interesting instrument. It's the bouzouki?
Bouzouki. They call it bouzouki. It's a four double strings. They make by hand. You cannot, you know, buy that. You have to order it, and it takes so long to make that, to fix that, because the wood they use, they have to wait. They make one part, they put them on the side, wait for like 2-3 months to get dry, and then they keep going. It's very neat, especially if you watch, you know, the way they're fixing it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So both a beautiful instrument, but it sounds great too.
Yeah,
it's just got that real sort of that high sound. I mean, it's almost
it's in the lute family.
Is it?
Yeah, it sounds more like a mandolin or a lute, but it's in the lute family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was like almost like this really elegant banjo or something, which I know is not quite the same, but I could see that more with the lute.
I would say the bouzouki is considered the national instrument for Greece, that and the clarinet.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. You have to, almost every song, you know, you have to use the bouzouki and like clarinet. And
it's just got such a great, great sound. Let's go ahead and take a listen to another song from you guys. Tell me about the second piece that you're going to do.
Hasapo Serviko.
What's something we should be listening for here? Or what type of dance would go with this piece?
This is an instrumental piece, and this is the one that's basically a 1-2-3 kick left, kick right, where everybody can...
it's a line dance.
It's a line dance, and they're going to be in a circle, and basically it gets faster as we go. So a lot of people that are or have been drinking that night, they're going to enjoy it.
Excellent. Thank you. John, tell me the name of that piece one more time that we just listened to.
That was a Hasapo Cervico.
Okay, cool. Now, and you guys will be playing through the whole weekend at Greek Fest, both Friday and Saturday?
Yes, correct. Friday night and Saturday night.
Excellent. Mary Lee, what else do we have to look forward to at Greek Fest?
Oh, lots of food. I encourage everyone to go to the website, indiegreekfest.org, and take a look at our full menu. Everything, there are photographs of everything and descriptions of everything. So you can kind of figure out what you may want for dinner.
Okay.
You know, once you're there, but also dance troupe performance times. If you want to see the traditional dances that go along with the music these guys have played, you know, take a look at the schedule of performances and you'll see different regional variations on a lot of these dances. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Now I heard something about wine and beer being mentioned.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Now, are we having some traditional Greek wines and beers?
We are having lots of traditional Greek wines and beers, including one that is it has a raisiny flavor, and it's I guess the oldest continuously made wine in the world, and it's really, really delicious. So there are, I think, 6-7 different very unique Greek wines that will be paired with the foods.
Excellent.
For you to try.
Good, that sounds fantastic.
And Kio beer.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All sounds good. So plenty of stuff to do for families, for mom and dad, for everybody. Sounds like a fantastic weekend. I want to thank the three of you guys very much for coming in with your instruments. You just sounded great. It was really fun to have you in our studio today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Mary Lee Pappas from Greek Fest 2011, plus musicians John Sateras, Costa DeGrasse, and Demos DeGrasse. The 38th Indianapolis Greek Festival takes place on Friday, September 9th and Saturday, September 10th at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Carmel. More information is available at indiegreekfest.org, and tickets are available at Marsh Supermarkets. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
The Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra is gearing up for its new season, and Sharon Gamble invited principal bassist David Murray and executive director Elaine Eckhart to tell us all about it.
How many years is this, Elaine? This is the 20-what anniversary?
The 27th season.
That's what I thought.
Yes. Of making music in central Indiana.
That went by fast. And a lot of people don't remember, you don't remember because you weren't the executive director back at the beginning, but a lot of people don't remember a time when Kirk Trevor wasn't here. He's been with the orchestra most of the years now,
he
right?
He came in 1988, and the first season was 84-85. Mm-hmm. So he really did come very near the beginning. And I've lost track. I have to do my math, what 1988 would be, but
about
he's like on three or four years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he loves this orchestra.
Yeah, and has made it work as he's moved around the country and had different home bases. And remind us where his other orchestras are now in the U.S. He still has an orchestra in the Czech Republic, right?
It's actually the Slovak Republic.
Okay.
But yes, and that's primarily a recording orchestra. That's a radio philharmonic, and he does a lot of recording in the summer, kind of, which is our off season.
Sure.
In the Slovak Republic. And then his other orchestra that's in the United States is the Missouri Symphony Orchestra in Columbia, Missouri. And that has an interesting season. They do a very intense 8-week season in June and July. It's a summer orchestra.
Hmm.
And they do a lot of concerts in that space of that 8 weeks. So he's with the ICO from September through May, although his residence is in Missouri, so he does commute once a month during our season to do the rehearsals and to do planning and administrative things that he needs to do. Then he's in Missouri, and then he's in the Czech Republic. Travels.
And it's not that some listeners may be surprised at this, but that is a more common life in classical music than most of us realize. David, I know your home base is here as a performer, as a teacher, but you have lots of colleagues who are commuting to play in multiple orchestras.
Well, and a lot of us do travel. I'm looking at the brochure right in front of me, and I look at Kathy Morris. She goes back and forth now between the San Francisco Bay Area and here all the
That's
time.
That's right.
Yes,
yeah.
She does.
And there are a lot of people that I know that work in several different venues. Of course, Maestro Trevor is one. And then a lot of us, you know, I have a home base here, of course, but I travel all over the place for various events.
For festivals and
exactly.
so forth.
Exactly, festivals. Excuse me. Festivals and also, you know, a guest performance here and there.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, I got into this profession because I do like to travel, so it's a good thing that I do that.
And it's a good thing you like it because it
yes.
comes with the territory. Yes, and I think Maestro Trevor, you know, would agree. And it also keeps the musician fresh. Music, professional music in that way is, it's a real balancing act between playing with your ensemble that is very well honed because you've played together and you understand everyone's style and the way they communicate with their musical instrument versus, you know, stretching your boundaries, if you will, and broadening your experiences and opportunities by playing with other ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably true in a lot of professions. That's always a balance that has to be maintained. It's no different with professional musicians.
I have to say, too, that I've watched the personnel of the ICO stay so stable over so many years. David, how do you account for that?
Well, I think we really enjoy performing together. We enjoy working together. We enjoy just our time as a group. And, you know, for instance, it's a small community. It's not, I mean, we're not as big as, say, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a relatively small community. And, you know, even if there are a few people that come in, as we call ringers, maybe are just playing a concert and subbing for somebody, we know them pretty well, too. So it's like a community. It's like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get together for a rehearsal or a concert, you know, there is that feeling. And we're a chamber orchestra, too, so we're not as big as, say, the Indianapolis Symphony. Just in terms of the size, we're just a nice small family get-together. Hopefully not the dysfunctional Thanksgiving get-together. But
another way to look at that is there's no place to hide because no section is that big.
Well, exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
You really
exactly.
have to be on your
Very
game.
True.
That's why I like it as a bass player, because we have less chamber music than, say, a violinist would have. And this is closer to chamber music, and I really appreciate the fact that, you know, what I contribute is worth something. And I don't disappear into the fabric or just disappear into the wall somewhere. It's
mm-hmm.
not my style anyway.
I was going to say, no one who's ever met you would accuse you of that, sir.
Well, David is being very modest here because I think the other reason why the personnel in the chamber, Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, is so stable is because this is really a fine ensemble with which to play. And for those who have the opportunity, those who have won a chair, this is not something that they would give up lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people have not ever left, because they have for various reasons.
Sure.
Their personal circumstances take them elsewhere, or even their career directions take them elsewhere. But it is always with a lot of thought and consideration, because there aren't very many opportunities like the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra in the Midwest. And there aren't very many ensembles where this gathering of musicians is so fine. So who wouldn't want to play with an excellent group of peers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and you do it all with a pretty modest rehearsal schedule. It's kind of a miracle how few hours you all have for any given concert.
It does keep us on our toes.
Well,
really
it speaks.
You better be ready.
It speaks to their excellence. I mean,
yeah.
It really speaks to the talent and skill and dedication, but the talent and skill and ability that is resident in the orchestra. And I can say that as an administrator, because I look at it and it just blows me away. But, you know, David's not going to say it, because that would be boastful.
It would be
it?
Immodest.
Well, it's kind of what we do. But, you know, I'm looking at the repertoire that we're coming up to this season,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, I can't wait to play the Prokofiev Concerto and the Ginastera Harp Concerto and the Mozart Concerto and the Prokofiev Classical Symphony we're doing on the first concert. I think we're all just eager and excited to play, and so we jump right into that first rehearsal, ready to go.
That has to be an advantage to, number one, you've had Kirk Trevor as your music director and conductor for so long, so you speak each other's language, so to speak.
That's
correct. There's a certain number of known quantities on both the podium side and sitting in the chairs, so you can work something up pretty quickly. But he has a reputation as somebody who keeps things fresh by doing some very creative and occasionally unexpected programming. There's mm-hmm. always at least one piece where you go, really, they're doing that? How cool is that? The Hinastera doesn't get performed very often, for example.
Yeah, I've only played it once years ago. I'm looking forward to doing it again because Hinastera is a wonderful composer mm-hmm. and this is a wonderful piece. And you need a wonderful harpist to do this with, too. So I think this is going to be a great experience for us.
Put it in context. About when was it written? And tell us a little bit about, is it Jana or Jana Buskova?
Jana.
There we go.
Jana.
None of the above. Yeah. Jana, thank you.
Yes.
I don't know too much about Jana. It's not somebody that I'm familiar with, but she's certainly had a career in Europe, I guess. The Hinastera, I am guessing it was written around the 20s or 30s,
mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a stab in the dark there, so if somebody out there listening is going, no, it was written. Yeah,
we won't hold you to
I'm
it.
Way off base. But, you know, it's fairly recent. Hinastera is a 20th century, or we claim him as a 20th century composer.
Modern, but still accessible,
yes.
though.
Mm-hmm. Very accessible. Yeah. Right. Argentinian, mm-hmm. and we played the variations, mm-hmm. the concert variations, mm-hmm. At the end of the season last year. And that is such a tremendous piece. There's great solos in it for all sorts of musicians in the orchestra. It's one of my favorites to play because there actually is a beautiful bass and harp solo right at the end.
That piece, which was last season, is a real showcase piece for a chamber orchestra. Mm-hmm. And the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra is an ensemble that's up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really typifies all the things we've said. No place to hide. Focuses on the many various instruments in the orchestra so that you hear all those voices.
Mm-hmm.
So Hinastera is an interesting composer. I think Kirk is kind of enjoying I've noticed that he's programmed Hinastera a few times in the last few years, and mm-hmm. that maybe, I don't know if he's on a Hinastera discovery.
He's on a journey.
But he did, in a conversation he had with the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra Board, was kind of describing how he divides this 20th century repertoire, which sometimes just gets lumped into this big old word called contemporary.
Right.
And that has an awful connotation because some people don't know whether that means contemporary pop, contemporary dissonant, contemporary because it's, you know, in the 20th century and we can all remember it, or it's within, the recent memory, at least, if not us, of our grandparents. And there is the change in music and the variety in 20th century music is broader than in some of the centuries previously. I mean, you go all the way back to the beginnings, Baroque, and things are somewhat steady. And then, Beethoven starts to mix it up when he makes the orchestra bigger. And it's just like anything else, technology, whatever, as time has progressed, the rate of change has increased. And so there's a real well to mine in some of the 20th century music. And Kirk Trevor does like to explore that. So this is one option.
And we suffer a little bit by not having labels to put on a lot of the music of the last century yet. It hasn't settled out what are we calling the music that was composed from Rite of Spring to 1930.
Right.
There's too many styles.
Many different composers. They all have different sounds. It's much more individual from composer to composer.
Mm-hmm.
In my classes at Butler, where I talk about music education and music appreciation, we talk about the difference in 20th century and how diverse it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that really speaks to our culture today, certainly. And when you're talking about the Rite of Spring, well, there's primitivism.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about Debussy, well, there's impressionism. At least those are the labels that people have gone back and given them. Expressionism, minimalism, all these different isms, atonalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could play a whole season of 20th century and still have a great variety of music.
I always tease people who say, I just don't like classical music. And I'm like, really? Do you like rock?
Well, some of it. It's the same thing with classical. Mm-hmm. And rock music's only, give or take, 60, 70 years old. Right. Classical music is centuries old.
Well, and there's some rock music that incorporates, classical. I mean, it can be so integrated.
Yeah.
And there's really no limits to what composers can do. So.
Right. The combinations are infinite, and that is pretty mind-boggling.
And it's still being written.
So,
with
those 12 tones, it's amazing.
Wow.
So,
You're actually starting. I didn't mean to skip over the opening concert. You're starting with a brilliant and still young pianist who's coming in to do the Mozart Piano Concerto number 23, which, if you don't know them by numbers, you'll know it.
Yes,
you've heard it.
It's my favorite. It is so lyrical, so beautiful, so tuneful. I just love that concerto.
Well, and this young lady, her name is Umi Garrett, and she does a lot of Mozart. Her hands are still quite small. She's an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So Mozart is friendly to small hands.
Yeah.
And so that's what she kind of is her specialty now. And this might be the real ultimate definition of emerging artist.
Yeah.
An 11-year-old. But we are very excited to... and I'm sure we will all be in awe of young talent. And her mother and her piano teacher are her traveling companions. I mean, this is just a little different from all aspects, from the administrative side, the traveling side, all of that. But yes, we are very, very delighted to feature Umi Garrett and open our season with her on September 17th. Mm-hmm. That's our opening date.
The Hinostera with the Harp Concerto and some more Beethoven, the Symphony No. 5, if you don't know any other classical music, you probably know that one, is Halloween weekend, right?
Yes, October 29th. Saturday, October 29th.
And then the aforementioned Kathy Morris mixing it up with a Pops concert on November 12th. That's at the Athenaeum Theater.
Mm-hmm. Cabaret-style seating, so be able to take your drink and dessert in there and enjoy a show.
And then for something completely different, and I'm so thrilled that you've kept the Messiah tradition going with the ICO for so many years. And was last year the first year at TAB, or was
last year was the first year at TAB.
And man, yes. That was I have to say that was, I've heard Messiah a lot, and that was the best performance I've ever heard.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
The acoustics are just perfect there.
Maestro Trevor would agree with you, and we've had some wonderful venues, and we've had some wonderful partners in the faith community, churches mm-hmm. that have let us use their space. But from a pure technical side, Tabernacle Presbyterian seemed to have the perfect acoustic for our size, for the for a chamber orchestra performance and a chorus of about 65 to 70.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not only a beautiful, physically beautifully ornamented space, but from a sound perspective, the sound was just gorgeous. And so we are returning to Tabernacle Presbyterian, and we will have four very fine soloists singing the solo parts, and the sanctuary choirs of Tabernacle and Fairview Presbyterian churches joining us, with Maestro Trevor's, I think, uniquely or very British interpretation of the Messiah, which I think gives it, even though it's a frequently played piece, this is not just any old Messiah, because it's really got Maestro Trevor's stamp of interpretation on it.
Sharon Gamble with Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra Executive Director Elaine Eckert and Principal Bassist David Murray. The ICO's 27th season begins on Saturday, September 17th at 8 p.m. with rising young pianist Umi Garrett performing Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 23 in A major. The concert will also include Beethoven's Egmont Overture, Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun, and Prokofiev's Classical Symphony at the Basile Theater at the Glick Indiana History Center. Learn more at icomusic.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I think you've been working too hard.
You think so?
I do think so.
What should I do then to take some time off?
I think
rest
you should
rest and relax
I
and recover.
I think you should celebrate Labor Day, but also do it by attending some arts events that we'll have on our calendar we call What'll We Do?
Yeah, it's a great weekend for events going on. I mean, just because it's Labor Day weekend doesn't mean that it's not also First Friday. So
Absolutely.
There's tons of great art openings and shows. What do you got?
Absolutely. Actually, if you're listening to us, you might be listening to us on your car radio or on your iPod as you're out and about doing some First Friday stuff. Do not miss, if you're hearing us on Friday night, going up to the Harrison Center for FoodCon 2. It's an unconventional convention exploring the art and culture of food in Indiana. It was so popular last year that they're reprising it. Get there before all the food is gone, though. It goes till 9 tonight, so you better hurry. Hurry.
Various fun stuff. Admission is free to that. Hey, a show that is opening Friday night, and it runs through September 30th, is the Tattoo Show, and this is at the Indy Artist Colony. If you haven't been there, it's a very cool gallery at 14th and Pennsylvania. Again, that's Indy is I-N-D-Y, and then Indy, I-N-D-I-E, Artist Colony. And the Tattoo Show features the work of a lot of tattoo artists, not just on people, but on things as well, including some cool antique tattoo guns and painted bowling pins and paintings and prints and people as well. And so this opens on September 2nd and runs through September 30th.
Very good. Hey, Storytelling Arts of Indiana is continuing its series of stories called Jabberwocky with a ghost story contest coming up on September 13th. You can visit Storytelling Arts on the web and find out more and even find out how to participate. Do you know a good ghost story? You probably do.
I might just have one to share.
Aha, very good.
Sounds like a plan.
Yay.
Hey, an opening that's taking place next week, actually on the 7th, at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center Art Gallery. Kyle Ragsdale has a new show, Alaya, and it is his first show up there at the JCC, and I just love his work, as many people do in town, and this is a whole new show that he's been working this summer on putting together, and definitely worth checking out from what I have heard. There is an opening on Thursday, September 8th, from 5:30 to 7:30, where you can meet Kyle and have some refreshments, or just check out the show anytime from now through October 24th.
Excellent. If you're a fan of Hispanic and Latino cultures, art, food, and especially music, don't forget that Fiesta is coming up on September 18th, and it's going to be a great, great event. Be sure to go and sample all the different foods and stop in at the cultural booths as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so many theaters that have their seasons beginning either this weekend or the weekend after. One I want to mention is Singing in the Rain is opening up the Beef and Board season. Opens up this weekend and continues through October 19th. The great stage version of that fantastic film. And, of course, there is Singing in the Rain on stage.
Singing in the Rain on stage. I need to amend something I just said about Fiesta. It's actually Saturday is the 17th of September, so don't go on the 18th. You'll just be sad.
Oh, and that weekend, too, there's always so much going on that weekend. You've got Fiesta, but also Irish Fest.
Irish Fest, that's right. And with men in kilts and favorite toasts and
lots of good food, lots of good food. And beverage.
And
sheep dogs.
That's all we're going to say about that. Actors Theater of Indiana is starting its new season with a show called Cole. The words and music of Cole Porter, our lovely native son. If you think, I don't know any Cole Porter music, sure you do. I Love Paris, Anything Goes, Night and Day, I Get a Kick Out of You. The list is just too long, literally, for us to include on our calendar. But that opens next week on September 9th and runs through the 25th at their new home. Actors Theater of Indiana.
Hey, Book Mamas in Irvington has a lot going on in September, including next Thursday the 8th at 7 o'clock. Nathan Everett will be there signing his new book, The Gutenberg Rubric, and he'll also be giving a letterpress demonstration and will print souvenir bookmarks, which sounds pretty cool. So that's Thursday at 7 o'clock. At Book Mamas in Irvington. And then on Friday, Rory Block will be performing in the Underground 9 studio at Book Mamas. When a Woman Gets the Blues is her new autobiography, and you can hear her perform and read excerpts as well. Always tons of cool stuff going on at Book Mamas in Irvington.
Very good. Hey, you heard all about this with Travis's interview recently, The Stars of Tomorrow, an evening with the stars dance events coming up put on by Indianapolis City Ballet next weekend on the 9th and the 10th, one of the best couple of nights in dance in the city every year.
That's right. I can't wait.
I know. I see you in fifth position over there getting ready, which is no mean feat.
Hey, a couple things I do just want to mention because they are going on this weekend, of course, for Labor Day. The 16th annual Rib America Festival is taking place in Military Park with some of those classic bands like REO Speedwagon, the Doobie Brothers, and KC, and the Sunshine Band.
Dear.
How fun is that this weekend?
Oh, I'm picturing the attire that goes with those bands, and it's not pretty. Moving on, yeah. Gallery 924 at the Arts Council of Indianapolis is looking for entries from Central Indiana artists for a group show featuring artwork made of wood or work that incorporates wood or the idea of wood. So if you're a carver, if you turn wood, paint on wood, create found object assemblages with wood, et cetera, or if you're a furniture designer, please contact Gallery 924. You can go to indiearts.org or dial 631-3301 to find out more. That show goes up on First Friday, November 4th, and remains up through November 25th.
Excellent.
Yep.
Hey, just to wrap things up for this week, I do want to remind you there's also some other great openings going on, of course, on First Friday at the Heron School of Art, as well as Big Car down in Found Square. They've got their Freaks and Geeks shows going on, and those shows are both open through the entire month as well if you miss them this weekend. But next weekend, it is live at Penrod. Sharon
That's
and I will
right.
be there from noon until 4 with lots of interviews, lots of great guests, lots of good food.
We'll be right next to the WFYI Blues tent, which is easy to find from the sound of it. Just follow the sound and come
sound.
On over. And
Matt Sosi will be there as well as a lot of other people from WFYI. So please come out and join us for Penrod, Indiana's Nicest Day.
We'll see you then.
Okay. And we'll be back next week with more of
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
The Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communications Festival and Competition, or INDAX, is an opportunity for performers of all ages to share their passion for poetry, drama, and speech. They get to compete, but they also receive constructive feedback and support. This program, in its third year, has been developed in partnership with WFYI and is being held at the WFYI studios on October 15th. Travis DiNicola spoke with INDAX Tabitha Starcher to find out more.
Tabitha, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. This is the third year, is that right, for INDAX?
It is the third year, yes.
Okay. Tell me a bit about this, because it's a really cool program that I'm just starting to really learn more about. I mean, I know that it's something that's been done in partnership with WFYI, but there's a lot more to it than that. So
absolutely.
Take it away.
Well, INDAX is the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communications Society Festival and Competition. So for those that are wondering what that stands for. And it's a festival and competition that really gives people the opportunity to come in and present their best self and showcase their talent in the arts. The categories really range from poetry to drama, persuasive speaking, improv, and radio news. So folks get to come in, spend some time before judges who are not just people in the community, but people who have done producing and have been a part of television and radio news and drama. We have some judges this year that have wrote books on poetry. They get to spend that one-on-one time with them, get some positive feedback, and also a little bit of constructive criticism, I guess, on how to build a better presentation in what it is that they do.
Okay. Now, it is something that, even though it's a lot of kids, high school students that participate, it is actually open to all ages. Is that correct?
It is. It starts at age 4 and goes all the way through adult.
Wow, age 4. Okay.
Yeah. So it really kind of runs the gamut. And the festival part is what really makes this a fun event. So people come in early on Saturday morning, October the 15th, and get to have breakfast. There's live music. There's a lot of things going on in terms of extracurricular. So for the parents who come in and for folks who are waiting for their time to be a part of the festival, there'll be other things for you to be doing.
Okay. So to be a part of it, you have to register ahead of time?
You do. And the registration deadline is October 7th.
Okay. Okay, and then that is something that, if you go on to the WFYI.org website and then index, INDACS, the registration information is there, right?
It is. You can find the registration information and also find a book where you can find all the pieces that are available for you to do. So we have chosen the poetry and a few of the monologues and duologues for folks to use.
Also, I see. So it's all pre-selected. It's not like bring your own monologue or something like that.
Not all of it. We do some improv, and so you can definitely bring that in and do that on the day of. Radio news is pre-selected, but you won't get that until the day of either. But if it's something that you want to do in terms of a poem, then yeah, you'll want to look for what we have online.
So I have so many questions. Let's start with just can you give me an idea of what some of the pieces are that are available at this point? Or
we have a Shakespeare category, and so obviously there are several pieces by him. We have for the younger kids.
What does a four-year-old get to pick from?
Yeah, I get a lot of questions on that. And so that starts as low as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Okay.
And that's really about building their confidence and helping them to learn to be in front of people. I think that's one of the things that as adults it was kind of a scary hurdle for a lot of us to get over when we got in high school and college. And so it's a great thing for the little ones to start at that age. So the pieces are very, very suitable to the age groups. I think there's a great variety in there, so I would encourage people to get on and check it out.
Okay. Now, what are people being judged on within the different categories? I mean, it is dramatic arts and communications. Is it strictly the vocal presentation? Is it about their physicality as well? I mean, what's being looked for here in terms of, you know, are you looking more for accomplished actors or speakers?
It kind of runs the gamut of the people that come in. I think that's kind of what sets this aside, is we do call the folks judges who you're going to be performing in front of, but it's a lot more of an environment that's nurturing and helps people to build on whatever talent level that they are at.
Okay.
And so you're going to get feedback that ranges from maybe you could have been a little bit more demonstrative, or I didn't hear you as well in this certain section, or that kind of feedback. And then you also get some feedback on what you did right, so you know to continue to do those things. This competition is one of the only ones that I've seen where you get to go into a room and be alone with these producers and these artists who have done this professionally, and get feedback from them without being in front of an audience, and it just being one-on-one for a few minutes. And I think that is crucial.
So there is no other audience there. It's just the panelists.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now there is a fee for this, because it's not entirely free, since you are getting this sort of feedback and participating in it, but it's pretty nominal, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The fee starts at $7 and goes up to about $35, depending on the age group and what you're doing.
Okay.
I will throw out there that the Teachers Credit Union, who has been a fantastic supporter of this event, has helped us in providing some scholarships. Now, those scholarships are limited, but we have been able to give those out to some of the schools, IPS schools locally, and provide them with the opportunity to bring kids in and waive that fee.
Okay.
And there may be some of that still available depending on how quickly people get registered, but
sure,
certainly don't let the fee stand in your way.
Okay. And then there are prizes as well.
There are prizes. And I think this is where I really became encouraged to be involved in this. And that's because a lot of the festivals and competitions that you see out there give people a certificate or some kind of a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as a young person, when I was looking into being involved in the arts, I really wanted an opportunity. And that is something that Index has been able to offer because of the partnership with WFYI. So the winner of each category in each age group will get the opportunity to film a little station identification or some kind of little promo for WFYI. And then that will air after the competition. So I think that
it's
very cool. They'll be able to use that as they go on either in a reel. And the neat thing is just to be able to see themselves on television.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Now, and again, this what I think really makes this quite different is that it is open to all ages. But one thing that I know that you know has drawn your attention and particular interest is that it is an opportunity for kids in high school, perhaps kids who are not in a school where there is any sort of speech program or drama program, to have an opportunity to compete, to get some feedback, to be a part of this. I mean, that's a really important part of this.
It's a very important part of this, and I think that's something that definitely give props to WFYI and to our sponsors for reaching out to those schools and providing that opportunity. I'm excited to see them come in. I think having such a collective group from the four-year-olds all the way up to adults gives everyone an opportunity to glean something from the people that they're also performing with on that day. So it's really a fantastic competition. This is my third year being involved, and I would encourage anyone who's looking at getting into the arts or you are in the arts to come down and just be a part of it.
Yeah, the one thing that that I'm only slightly disappointed about is that there isn't really an opportunity to be an audience to see all the different performances, right?
Yeah, there's not. And I think that that's something they've thrown around back and forth about having that. But the one thing we consistently get back from our participants is they really love that opportunity to be alone and have that one-on-one time with the judges. To be able to get that feedback and for it to be something that you can take in instead of feeling a little bit under pressure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also, you know, I do think that that's a good experience for those students, especially who are interested in pursuing the theater as a career, just because most auditions take place, you know, often in front of one or two or three people, not in front of an audience, not in front of a huge crowd. And you know, performing a monologue or some other piece in front of just a few people is often a very different type of experience than it is going up on a stage. And so it's good to have that background.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think that having that experience of understanding what it is to be on a stage and there not be an audience there, it really does change things.
Yeah, different sort of thing. Tell me a bit about your own personal involvement with this. I know that in addition to WFYI, there's a lot of other great partners. You mentioned Teachers Credit Union, Printing Partners, Indiana State Museum, Pike Performing Arts Center, Center for Speech and Drama, but also the Bell Award. And that's something that you're personally involved in. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, the Bell Award is something that's near and dear to my heart. The Bell Award is named after my mother, who had struggled with a brain tumor for a number of years. And through that, I became involved with and recognized more organizations who get out there and work in the community, and they do it tirelessly. And a lot of them really need someone to help them in terms of their promotions. And that's something that I do for a living. And I'm in the arts and community myself and media community. So I decided that each year I would take on one of these charities and help promote them, just help them get their feet under them. Last year I worked with Southside Animal Shelter, which was just a fantastic organization. They actually have an event coming up on September 10th at Perry Park down on Stop 11. But these organizations really do need someone to help them with not only their marketing and media, but just teach them how to get out into the marketplace and fundraise.
Sure.
So this year I decided to sit on the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communication Society Festival and Competitions Board. So that name always gets me. But to be a part of this was something that struck a chord in me when I realized what they were going to do in terms of trying to bring kids in who don't have that opportunity within their schools. So setting on this board and being a part of that, I've got to go out into a few of the schools and do some speaking and just give the kids a little bit of inspiration in terms of pursuing their dreams and regardless of what comes their way, to be consistent and pursue things in a very intentional way. So,
now, Tabitha, I've got to ask, did you have an interest in drama and theater when you were in school yourself?
Not so much the drama and theater. I've been interested in more of the media side of it. Mm-hmm. So I do some freelance producing myself. And I've had an interest in that side of it for quite a while. And the Bell Award is something that has given me the opportunity to give a little bit of that back, to be a part of producing something for these charities for them to use. I've had people use them and send them in for grants. It's been a fantastic opportunity for me just to be able to find a way to give back using my my connection to the arts.
Well, so. Congratulations on that. And again, another great event and organization with INDAX, the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communication Society, to be a part of. Thanks so much for coming into Art of the Matter today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Travis DiNicola with Tabitha Starcher of INDAX, or the Indiana Dramatic Arts and Communications Festival and Competition. The event takes place on Saturday, October 15th at WFYI Studios. You can register from now through October 7th at wfyi.org/INDACX. Again, wfyi.org/INDACS.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4, when we'll revisit some of our favorite interviews from the summer, when I found out about Tiger Forest at the zoo and the upcoming season at Clues Memorial Hall.
And we'll include my chat with Jeffrey Patchen of the Children's Museum. Plus, next Saturday, Sharon and I will be live from the Penrod Arts Fair from noon to 4 p.m.
That's right. You can join us out there on the grounds of the IMA for Indiana's Nicest Day, and you can listen to our interviews with more than a dozen different arts organizations and artists.
So, favorites from the summer during our regular time, Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4, and live from Penrod from noon to 4 on Saturday. Plus, we'll also have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in three first-class venues. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.